Bismillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi
wa sahbihi
wa man wala. Allahumma alimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman nafi'an ya arhamar rahimin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. After extending to you the best salutation of time, a salutation of peace and love to people around the world, regardless of faith, race, nationality, and tribe. This is how I welcome you again to another edition of Call to Islam, the program that comes up every Friday on AYV TV, Channel 33, and online as well at www.aynews.com. Wherever you are, you either get us on Channel 33 or stream live with us on www.aynews.com. This program is one that treats Islamic issues. It brings at your site Islamic scholars from various fields of study. As a reminder, it's been given emphasis in Islam. We deem it fit to remind one another in this program known to be Called to Islam. I am Muhammad Mujtaba Ba. Stay with us. Let's drive the next hour and take an Islamic tour, inshallah. As always, I don't do this program alone. Hence with us today is an Islamic scholar born in Jamaica. He comes from a family of educationists. Both his parents were teachers, and his grandfather was a church minister and a Bible scholar. But when he was 11, his family migrated to Canada. After some years, he completed a diploma in Arabic and got BA from the College of Islamic Discipline, Usuluddin, at the University of Medina in 1979, and later his master's at the University of Riyadh, and then a PhD in Islamic theology at the University of Wales in 1994. This scholar taught Islamic education and Arabic in schools and lectured in various universities like Sharif Kabuswan Islamic University in the Philippines. Presently, he is a lecturer of Arabic and Islamic studies at the American University in Dubai and Ajman University in Ajman, UAE. He has founded and directed many Islamic organizations, including what is now known as Discover Islam, and the Foreign Literature Department of Dar al-Fatah Islamic Press in Sharjah, UAE, and also the founder and chancellor of the Islamic Online University. He is among the globally known Islamic speakers and lecturers of this time. There is no time to waste. There is no time for holidays, says this man, when you realize how little time there is and how much work has to be done for Islam. The great man is Sheikh Dr. Abu Amina Bilal Phillips. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Doctor, welcome to AYV Television. Welcome to Sierra Leone as a whole.
Alhamdulillah, my pleasure to be here. I'm happy Allah has given me the opportunity to visit Sierra Leone again. This is the third visit, actually.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah.
Well, viewers, inshallah, we are going to learn a lot and increase our Islamic grip. We need to know that Islam is not a part-time job, but a full-time one, which resignation comes only when you leave the world and head for the year after. Inshallah, wherein you will get salary. May Allah give us a handsome reward. Not wasting any time, Dr. Bilal Phillips, I need to go personal for now. Were you born in Islam?
No, I was born in a Christian family in Kingston, Jamaica.
Jamaica?
Mm-hmm.
MashaAllah. So how do you come to meet Islam?
Well, that was a journey, you know, of part of my life. As you mentioned, my family migrated to Canada. I grew up in Canada.
Uh-huh.
And in university, I got involved in politics, student politics, and from that, actually, I went from Christianity to communism. believing that communism had the answer to problems of the world and, you know, equality between people and just distribution of wealth and all these other types of things.
Okay.
You know, but after being a communist for a number of years, I came to realize that communism really wasn't the answer. And that led me then to look elsewhere. And at that point in time, I stumbled upon Islam as a proper teaching, because I had come across Islam in the U.S., you know, in a group called the Black Muslims, or the Nation of Islam. And Farrakhan is now the person in the U.S. who continues to espouse those ideas. But they weren't true teachings of Islam. So I wasn't interested in them at all. But when I found real Islam, proper Islam, and then I came to realize that all of the things that I was looking for in communism and the things that I respected in capitalism, you know, which communism had thrown aside but was not really able to function without, these things existed in Islam. Okay. The good elements of communism was there in Islam.
Okay.
And even, you know, the good elements of Christianity in terms of, you know, teachings of spiritual nature, which deal with being good, recognizing God in your life, and, you know, living a righteous life, and these types of things. They were all there in Islam. Islam had a system, you know, a system of economics, a social system. You know, it was a series of systems. It could fulfill the needs of society from all aspects. So when I read enough and talked with enough people and became convinced that this really was the answer, this is when I decided to become a Muslim, back in 1972.
1972.
Before you were born.
Indeed, before I was born. You know. So, mashallah, since you are a Muslim, are there trials that you've encountered, or things are just well?
Well, of course, as a Muslim, you know, you're going to encounter difficulties. Myself, coming from a non-Muslim background, you know, adjusting to Muslim practices and, you know, learning them. One of the things that drove me to study Arabic formally was because of the fact that in my first year of Islam, when I met Muslims from so many different places, I had a friend who was from Ghana, you know, one from Morocco, another one from Egypt, one from Pakistan. And each person had, you know, different twists, different understandings, different ideas. And that's what sort of drove me to want to go and find out, well, what really is the original teachings, you know? So these were amongst the trials that a new Muslim tends to face when he or she comes into Islam, you know, that they may hear cultural Islam as taught by the various cultures that they are surrounded by, you know, and it may become a bit confusing if you don't find out or meet people who can give you a good, clear picture of what Islamic teachings are.
Okay, so the solution to that is to get in and study Islam as well.
Yeah, and to try to get it from the source.
Okay.
You know, because of course you can pick up books. Maybe these books are also written by cultural, you know, individuals writing it from their culture or their school of thought or whatever. You know, you need to get in. If a person really wants to know, you know, what the teachings of Islam are, they need to get to the original sources and read and study and get a correct idea of what the teachings are.
Okay, so how can one get to know these original sources?
Well, now, you know, it's available in English. I mean, of course, the Quran, as you have here, this is an English Arabic version of the Quran. The Quran represents the Book of Revelation, which came to Prophet Muhammad. May God's peace and blessing be upon him. And it's still here, you know. You can now read it and see what was that revelation. Now, if I were to ask you, for example, as a Christian, can I see the Gospel of Jesus? Not the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want to see the Gospel of Jesus. What was revealed to Jesus? Nobody can provide you with a book to get you, you know, to know the sources. Where did it all come from? It's not available. It's lost. So, alhamdulillah, in Islam, it's available. If you want to know You know, what did the prophet himself, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, say? What did he teach? How did he live his life? And how did he guide us to live our lives? And you have books of hadith, which compiled the various teachings that he gave, you know, accurately compiled. So you have access to where the religion and all the practices originally came from. So you can now compare between what people are doing today and what was taught then, you know. Alhamdulillah, for the most part, I would say that the fundamental teachings, you know, the five pillars of Islam, praying five times a day, fasting in Ramadan, Hajj, you know, giving zakah, which is the compulsory charity, I mean, that hasn't changed. That's exactly the same as it was, virtually. It's no change. But in terms of people's day-to-day social practices, you know, there have been changes. As Islam spread to different parts of the world, people came into Islam and brought in with them some of their own cultures.
Okay.
And then in time, people were not able to distinguish between what was their original culture and what really was Islamic teachings. So this is some of the difficulty that a person who newly comes into Islam may face.
Okay, I think the solution here is only for one to really get into the field of knowledge and learn Islam. Alhamdulillah, the great man with us today is Dr. Bilal Phillips. He is a globally known scholar, of course. He is not a stranger to anyone in the world because we are familiar with his face, his posts, his lectures, and most of what he does. Alhamdulillah, we are having him today right in our studios at AYV Wesley Street. Doctor, there is this thing, so many reverts, people who come to Islam, they tend to achieve much more than those they meet in Islam. We don't know the reason why.
Well, that may be exaggerated, you know, because perhaps, you know, those who come into Islam and who have made contributions, they're highlighted.
Okay.
You know, so a lot of focus is put on them, you know, so you hear about them, they're here, they're there, etc. People like Dr. Zakir Naik, although he's not a convert to Islam, but you know, he's a person who awoke to Islam in his own area, and other people like Yusuf Estes and Abdurrahim Green and, you know, Yusuf Islam and others, you know, there tends to be focus on them. But, you know, among people who are born in Islam, there are many, many more who have made huge contributions also,
okay.
You know. But so I wouldn't want to say that it's all coming from the new Muslims, you know, the new converts to Islam. What I could say is, in general, maybe if you compare the average Muslim to the average new Muslim, that in terms of the practice of the religion, the average new Muslim may tend to be more sincere in their practice. They're more, you know, careful to try to do everything and to do it right.
Okay.
Whereas the born in Islam Muslim, he takes things for granted. You know, mm-hmm. He's just doing whatever his family did, whatever his culture did, his people did. So he's not as careful. So he tends to be more careless in terms of dealing with the practice of Islam. So this is where I could say there will be a difference. And it's natural, because the person who converts to Islam tries to find out what is Islam. Whereas, you know, somebody who is born in Islam, you don't have to find out what is Islam. You already know Islam. You said, you know, my parents were Muslims. My family, my relatives, my neighbors, everybody's Muslim. So, I'm Muslim by association.
Exactly. You know? So. Anyway, the great man with us, as we say, is Dr. Bilal Phillips, the Chancellor of Islamic Online University. Doctor, you've moved in places around the world. What could be your comparison between Islam in Europe and in Africa, since you've been there and here also?
Well, Islam in Europe, you know, if you take Canada, oh, you take Europe, but say the West, rather than saying Europe, right?
Okay.
Europe represents a part of the West, right?
Yes, right?
So in Canada, where I grew up, you know, and I've been back to most often, you know, the communities of Muslims there are a mixture of people from all over the Muslim world.
Okay.
So you find more, you could say, acceptance of different and cultural practices, etc., people are more able to work with each other than on the ground, where you might find, you know, countries fighting each other, you know, in differences between Iraq, for example, and Syria, or Jordan and Kuwait, or people who may be involved in military struggles at different points. When you meet them in Canada, well, they're all the same, in the sense that we are a minority. We're in Canada. You know, you're not really an Iraqi anymore. You're a Canadian. You know, okay. You're not really a Kuwaiti anymore. You're a Canadian, and your Canadianness takes precedence over your cultural backgrounds. So I would say that the communities of the West, where Muslims are minorities in major cities of the West, maybe one of the largest minorities, we could say that they are more culturally integrated, okay, than in the Muslim world, you know, as we exist today. Muslim world tends to be divided up. In Africa, you know, there are lines which have been drawn by the colonial masters, which have separated our countries to such a degree that, you know, we have different passports, different national anthems, you know, we identify ourselves differently, even though you might even be from the same tribe. Maybe half your tribe is on one border and side of the border, and the other half is on the other, but you're looking at each other in different ways, you know. So I think that the tribalism, the nationalism that may be found in the African countries today, now, which keep people apart, is less present there in the Western minority Muslim communities.
Okay, so what would you advise Africans to do in that light?
Well, I think the efforts to try to develop, you know, an African union, you know, where, you know, you have one passport, you are able to travel freely between countries, infrastructure, roads and railways, which allows people to move about the continent more freely. I think this would go a long way, and this is really what Africa needs, you know, because the way things are now, I mean, we're suffering because of the divisions that exist. It's a product of divide and conquer. We were conquered and divided up.
Exactly.
Those divisions keep us, you know, exploited as an exploited nation, instead of a nation with all these resources producing and selling to the rest of the world and benefiting financially and developing their own society. We just are a service nation. We just provide our services, provide our manpower, provide our resources, and everybody, you know, takes benefit from it.
Okay, Dr. Bilal, let me take you back in your home country, Jamaica. We know Jamaica to be people of music, people of something outside Islam. Now, just from anywhere, we see Dr. Bilal Phillips, a man who has done his in the field of Islam so much. We are in your legacy in Islam, mashallah. May Allah reward you. It will be forever, inshallah. So, is Jamaica like that, the way we see it?
Yeah, Jamaica is, as is portrayed, you know, it's famous figures. Usain Bolt, he's the fastest man in the world, and there's a female also, Jamaican, who's fastest woman in the world, and, you know, Bob Marley and reggae and, you know, tourism and all these things. That is Jamaica, no doubt. But Islam is spreading there, you know. It when I accepted Islam back in the 70s and I went down to Jamaica, you know, I could hardly find any Muslims in Jamaica at all. You know, I only ran into maybe two or three. You know, now there are thousands and there are mosques all over Jamaica. You know, so time has passed and knowledge and information about Islam has spread. Many people, actually, Jamaicans, find Islam in other locations. They go to the UK, they go to the US, and they come across Islam there and they bring it back to Jamaica. So a lot of it came that way.
Okay. So in the long run, we would see Jamaica, inshallah, to be coping with Islam.
Yeah, I think Islam will play a bigger and bigger role in the future of Jamaica. I mean, it's still a minority. I don't see it as going beyond minority position. It's never going to become an Islamic state. I wouldn't expect that. But it's a sizable minority that's growing and will have an influence, you know, in the future on the development of Jamaica.
Okay. Dr. Bilal, there are so many propaganda going out there about Muslims, Islam, Islamic scholars, onto the recent one with Dr. Zakir Naik, wherein he was alleged that he is having issue with the Dhaka attack. So how are you the scholars, the Islamic scholars, how are you coping with the media pressure?
Well, the media, you know, is the biggest source of false information about Islam. Okay. You know, Islamophobia comes from the media. It's a product of the media. The media has created false impressions, fears, etc., you know, highlighting and overemphasizing minor issues, blowing them out of proportion. What can you do? What can anybody do? The only way is for Muslims to be more and more involved in media, you know. And I encourage people all the time, Muslim communities, to take part in media, to write, to become journalists, you know, get our voice heard. The internet is a major, you know, leveling field for everybody, because anybody can write anything on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, and alhamdulillah, I have over 5 million followers on my Facebook page. So, you know, when issues come relative to myself, I can say something. At least 5 million people will hear it, you know, and they can spread it to another 5 million, whatever. So that's my part. That's what I can do, you know. And being on programs like this also to help clarify these false impressions, false information, which are out there.
Okay, so what's your relationship with those scholars, the Dr. Zakir Naik, the Mufti Mink, Yasir Qadri, and the rest of them?
Well, we're close friends, you know. Mm-hmm. Dr. Zakir Naik, of course, you said on Peace TV, I do programs for Peace TV on a regular basis. You know, those accusations against him are totally false. In fact, the media in India was forced to take them back and apologize and all these other kinds of things. But usually, we don't see the apologies and the taking back and all this. We only see, you know, in the media when the attack comes. This is the problem, you know. But we're friends, we're close friends. We share programs, we do things together.
Okay, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, we are having today with us, right on Call to Islam, Dr. Bilal Phillips. He's the Chancellor for the Islamic Online University. He came on tour in Sierra Leone, Alhashallah. We appreciate his presence, and we are looking forward to seeing him very frequently all the time, I could say, inshallah. Doctor, so since you came in Sierra Leone, what is your assessment? How do you see Islam here?
Well, there's a huge potential. I mean, Muslims are the majority, you know, though they don't have really a presence, you know, in the political, economic, social atmosphere of the country. You know, they're very much in the background, and they do need to play a bigger role. We have issues here, especially, you know, in the areas of education. This is why I came to Sierra Leone in the first place, was to promote my university's options for the disenfranchised youths of the country, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, you know, but to provide for them the opportunity to get access to higher education, which they normally wouldn't have. Mm-hmm. So there is a huge need in the country as a result of, you know, what happened in the war, civil war of the past, as well as the Ebola and the effects of Ebola and wiping out families, you know, so many orphans which produced, having no means to fend for themselves. So there is a huge need in the country. And I felt that, you know, my university has so much to offer to the country that, you know, it was obligatory on me to try to do something here. Some of my classmates when I studied in Medina University and in Riyadh were from Sierra Leone. So, you know, I made contact with them since I've been back, and alhamdulillah, you know, there's a lot that I hope to accomplish here for the betterment of the society as a whole, and particularly for the Muslim community, and in the area of education, in uplifting the overall consciousness of the Muslim Ummah here, you know, to prevent the possibility of groups like Boko Haram or Shabab or any of these other types of groups from arising here, who arise where there is a vacuum, where there is ignorance. They play on people's emotions and draw them into acts which are, you know, against society, acts of terrorism, etc. All of it in the name of Islam. Yeah. But they can only succeed where people are ignorant. Where people have a knowledge of Islam, they have a background, then they are not able to promote their ideas.
So, alhamdulillah, we've had that. Let's say Islam and politics. Now, for instance, in Sierra Leone, most of our Islamic scholars tend to shift far away from politics, thinking it is evil, it is something that will take them off Islam. What would be your advice in that fold?
My advice would be that, you know, a righteous Islamic politician, you know, is needed. Okay. That people can see that one can be a politician and be an honest politician, you know, looking after the needs and the rights of people, you know, and be known, you know, as the incorruptible, the uncorruptible politician. You know, that's what we need. We don't need Muslims who will come into politics and be corrupted by politics, because then you're just like everybody else, you know. So we need, because that is the example that the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, left. He left for us the example of honesty and trustworthiness. He was known as Al-Amin, the trustworthy, the honest. So we need to bring that aspect of Islam, this aspect of character, back into the forefront so people can respect Muslims again.
Okay. So we don't need to stay back, live in politics with the non-Muslims?
No, that is foolish. Okay. That is foolish. Because, you know, politics is the running, governance, running of the country. And Muslims, being a majority, should play an active part, should be, you know, represented in the government, you know, by their numbers, or representative numbers should be there to be able to express their points of view. But we do need to have, you know, honest and reliable politicians.
Okay, we do need to have honest and reliable politicians, says Dr. Bilal Phillips. MashaAllah, we are having him live at the AYV Studios, Wesley Street. Inshallah, we are going out for a break. Let's take a look at this video, a very interesting one that would send message to you that we would discuss later on, inshallah. Stay with us. We are here, Call to Islam. Stay with us. Let's go out for a break. We'll be back, inshallah.
Islamic Online University. Changing the nation through education. Register now and get started. Visit www.iou.edu.gm for more details.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome again. The program is Called to Islam. And today with us is the man himself, Dr. Bilal Phillips, a globally known Islamic scholar and the Chancellor of Islamic University. Doctor, without wasting any time, you are the Chancellor of Islamic University. How does this come about?
Well, Islamic Online University is a product of some years of my own development as a university professor, founder of Islamic Studies departments in the UAE, setting up my own university also in Chennai, India, and working with universities in the Sudan. That culminated in the online presence of university-level education, which was missing. There was a vacuum. There are a few universities available, but not accessible to the masses of the people. So when I realized that the need was a global need. I had been working locally. I'd worked in the UAE for years. I was in Qatar working there also on a university level, running university programs. I worked setting up the university in Chennai in India. You know, these were all localized. So, or you could, in India it was sort of national, but I wanted to go international. I wanted to be able to reach a much wider audience.
Okay.
So the online route was the only route. It was clear ahead of me that I needed to take that route.
Okay, so what's the current capacity of IOU?
Well, right now we have 260 plus thousand students, 260,000 students.
Oh, sure.
You know, we have average about 100 new students signing up with us every day.
Every day, 100 students?
Yes.
MashaAllah. So throughout the year, people sign up?
Yes, it's throughout the year. They're, as I said, every day, 365 days a year, we have an average of 100 students joining. So we have approximately 36,000 new students who register every year.
MashaAllah. So what courses do you offer?
We're offering not only Sharia, because of course when people hear the name Islamic Online University, they see Islamic, they think, oh, they must be studying Quran and Hadith and Arabic. Okay. You know, it's Islamic studies, Sharia. This is what's expected. Well, it is true we did begin with Islamic studies. In fact, when we started the university in 2007, we started it as a free diploma. You know, we offered a free diploma in Islamic studies just to spread general knowledge around the world. And we've kept that free diploma program going because until now, I mentioned we have about 260,000 students, but really 254,000 of them are in the free diploma.
Okay.
There's only 6,000 students who are actually paying fees for undergraduate programs.
Okay.
So what you asked me about was the different programs we're offering. Yeah. So we offer Sharia and we offer it in English medium. So this is what's unique because you can find other Sharia programs available in Arabic online also.
Yeah.
But we are teaching in English medium being the global language. And added to that, we teach Arabic. Students have to learn Arabic also, but it's basically in English medium. And we started off, as I said, with the program for Sharia or Islamic studies. Mm-hmm. However, in 2014, when our first batch of students graduated, and we had, for the first time in history, a university graduation online.
MashaAllah.
Where students received their certificates, you know, valedictorian addresses were given, guest speakers were there, thousands watched as students graduated online. So we made history on that date in 2014. At that same time in 2014, we added three new courses in one bachelor's in education, a bachelor's in psychology, and a bachelor's in Islamic banking and finance. And in 2015, we added also a bachelor's in business administration and a bachelor's in information technology. And this year, we're adding also a bachelor's in Arabic language for teaching Arabic to non-native speakers of Arabic.
Okay. So in the clear context, IOU is not only meant for Muslims?
No, it is open for any and everybody.
Okay, are there Sierra Leoneans?
Yes, we have some hundreds that have registered already, you know, and so we had a graduate. From Sierra Leone, we had more than one graduate, and he, alhamdulillah, he was accepted in a university in Russia. He's currently doing his master's there in Russia.
MashaAllah. So are you having tutors also from Sierra Leone?
We have some professors from Sierra Leone in our courses, and we'll be hiring a number of others because, you know, before when we hired just for Islamic studies, whereas now we're looking for professors in other fields, in mass communications, for example, because we want to start that up next year, mass communications, and in public health. We also want to launch courses in public health.
Okay, MashaAllah. So, how would you compare IOU to other standard universities around the world?
Well, it is among what we may call the mega universities, in that we have, you know, over 100,000 students. Our number is actually 260,000 plus, right? So from that perspective, we are in a small group of universities that may be called mega universities. But beyond that, we are unique in the sense that all of the courses that we teach are taught from a comparative perspective. We're not taking from the field of education, for example, just whatever is taught in conventional universities, whether here or in the West. We're taking that, looking at it, judging it, analyzing it, comparing it to what Islam teaches, etc., so that the students will get a feel for what that particular discipline has to offer society, and to be able to choose what is the best way in which that may be delivered. So we have a comparative, you know, critical thinking approach to our studies.
Okay, mashallah. Meaning you just don't offer courses for the sake of offering. You scrutinize them with the perspective of Islam.
Yes.
Mashallah. So what's your plan in the future, mashallah, for IOU?
For IOU here, you know, we are in the process of gaining accreditation in the country with the TEC. We've already gotten accreditation from the NCTVA, which is for offering the diploma and certificate level courses. We're now working on the next level. And we plan to partner with other educational institutions around the country to be able to bring university education into high schools.
Okay.
You know, where you have high schools where students are graduating and they are in other parts of the country like Bo or whatever, they don't have a means to come here to Freetown, or they can't afford it. You know, then we want to try to develop learning centers in such institutes where the students can just continue their education into university-level education using online study.
Okay, mashallah. As you've said, IOU is among the mega universities. So what does it cost me if I want to enroll to IOU?
Well, IOU is also perhaps the lowest costing university in the world.
The lowest.
The student pays only $70 per semester, registration fee. Not per class, but per semester. That's $140 per year. That's $560 for an accredited bachelor's degree in the fields which I mentioned.
Okay, mashallah. This is a blessing. I use a blessing, mashallah. We thank Allah for sending for us Dr. Bilal Phillips, because he is doing his in the field of Islam and in other issues around the world. We appreciate that so much. May Allah handsomely reward you. So if one could want to contact people from within Sierra Leone, are you having any contact here whom are working on your behalf?
Yes, we have on 8 Stewart Street, we have a branch office that is being set up there.
Where?
On 8 Stewart Street.
Stewart Street.
Yes.
Okay.
And we have a representative here who is the registrar of the campus that we're developing there. And his contact number is 0768-47100. He may be contacted on that number, or 0880273334. So we can get further information through those numbers. We're setting up a full operation there on Stewart Street. Over the next couple of weeks, the place should be in full operation. And we welcome people to contact us. Or, as you saw in the ad that came previously about the Islamic Online University, you just have to go to the online site and register. Okay. Because we are accredited in Somalia. We are officially accredited by the Ministry of Higher Education in Somalia. You know, our name is within the list of UNESCO recognized universities, accredited universities in Africa.
MashaAllah. So, Dr. Bilal Phillips, time is against us now. What would be your final say?
Well, my final words to the people of Sierra Leone, to uplift this country through spreading education, knowledge, which will help to develop a more productive, youth-oriented society. Because we know that Sierra Leone, like the other countries of Africa, have a preponderance of youth. 60-70% are young people, which is quite different from the West, where it's the opposite way around. This is an advantage for the development of the country. But the youth need to be properly educated so that they can contribute to the development of the society. So we need to all put our hands together, you know, and help. We, those of us that have means, need to provide scholarships and help these young people, you know, uplift themselves and uplift the society along with them. So that's my final words. And also for those of you that have misunderstandings about Islam and, you know, what you've been fed in the media, find out yourself from Muslims. Just sit down with them, discuss with those people who have some knowledge, and get clarity. You know, because what we are about in Islam is what everybody is seeking: a peaceful and secure country where we can raise our families in the best way, respecting each other and working together for the overall future of the nation.
Okay, that was Dr. Bilal Phillips, the man himself, the man from Jamaica, but a renowned scholar now, meaning your source doesn't matter, what you can do matters most. Alhamdulillah, we hate to end this program, but having no option, we have to stop here. Till we meet again any other Friday, mashallah, we'll say subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illallah, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Islamic Online University, changing the nation through education. Register now and get started. Visit www.iou.edu.gm for more details.